All right, we like it fast. We like to do it quickly. We like to be on the ball, and we like speedy trials. Or do we? We'll tell you here in a second, right here on the Feel Like How I Did That. All right, so look, I've got some comments here, and one that wasn't even, I don't think our clip was related to speedy trial, but somebody asked, or somebody says, the right to a speedy trial should not be the exception, but the constant rule. And we were talking about plea bargaining and some other things during that episode, I think. But I've had lots of other comments about speedy trial. And I get this question a lot when people come into my office, speedy trial, not speedy trial, where people pound the table, say, I want my speedy trial. Or maybe somebody calls and a lawyer is representing that person, and that person is, or the lawyer, that person's upset at their lawyer because they waived their right to a speedy trial. So we're going to break it down. Mm-hmm. First, let's talk about what speedy trial is. It's really two different things. It's the same thing, but two different foundational origins of it. We have the Sixth Amendment guarantees people the right to a speedy trial, public and speedy trial. Mm-hmm. In Ohio, and I think most states, we also have a statute. So you have a constitution, the U.S. Constitution, the Ohio Constitution, then you have law or statutory law. So the constitutions are like the foundation. You have a right to a speedy trial, but it doesn't really say what that means.
Yeah, just kind of just... You have that. There's no time limit. There's no...
Do it fast, baby. Do it fast. And, you know, there's probably some good foundational grounding for that because there's probably times that you can imagine in our not-so-distant past where a corrupt government agent would just arrest somebody and hold them like at Guantanamo Bay or something
for like 20 years.
For 20 years without a trial. I mean, that was the idea of it. I'm not getting into that, but it's a good example in modern day.
Yeah.
Then that's a whole different question about whether those people had or those defendants or were they political prisoners or were they war crime, whatever mm-hmm. it is. You know, the Constitution did or didn't apply. That's a different discussion. But in a general case in Ohio, if you are charged with a felony, the statutory law says the government has to get you to trial within 270 days. It also says that if you're being held in jail, say you've got a bond you couldn't make, you get 3 for 1.
It's like a coupon.
It's like a coupon, right?
Yeah.
So you got a coupon. You're getting 3 for 1. Yeah, tell somebody doing 3 for 1.
Yeah.
Hey, good news for you. It's a coupon day. Yeah. You're getting 3 days for 1. And that means they got to get your trial done in 90 days. But there's all sorts of stuff that goes into this. All sorts of stuff. So we're going to break it down. Constitutionally, it's generally held that that Ohio's statutory provisions fit within the confines of the constitutional provisions. So we'll just stick to that for now. And then there's something else we'll get to in a minute called pre-indictment delay, where a government discovers the crime, but they wait years to indict you for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, speedy trial. It's not just that you start the clock or you light the fuse the day you're arrested and you wait 90 days or 270 days. It's different for misdemeanors, by the way. 30 days for M4s and minor misdemeanors and 45, I think 60 and 90 days. Anyway, it's different. But if it's not like you just light the fuse, because there are things that happen in the course of a case that toll time. So you start here in day one, and then you get all the way over here to day 270. But let's say on day one, the defense does something crazy, like files a demand for discovery.
Absolute lunacy.
Lunacy. So we file a demand for discovery. Well, that's within the rules, and we're almost duty-bound to do such a thing because we want to get the information from the government, what they intend to use at trial, what the evidence is, what the witnesses, you know, all the stuff you need to defend a case. That's called a tolling provision. So on day three, we file a demand for discovery, and we don't get discovery for 3 weeks. That's generally been held to be a reasonable amount of time for discovery, for the government to deliver discovery. So we've got 3 weeks of time that aren't going to count against that 90 days.
We go even longer. I'm pretty sure 30 days is the window.
30 days is sort of a reasonable window. And it's even been enlarged if it's a different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say the 30 days goes by. So now you're still at 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
We get the discovery and we review it and we think, holy crap, these cops screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
They violated our client's Fourth Amendment rights by conducting an illegal search and seizure. So what do?
We file a motion to suppress.
We file a motion challenging the illegal search and seizure. That motion will, again, toll the time until it's resolved because we have challenged it. Mm-hmm. Now, look, I'm not saying I agree with all this necessarily, nor am I saying that it's right. I'm just saying this is what it is.
Yeah.
In the comments, we always get these things like, we're idiots, I'm a dummy, don't ever hire this guy, he doesn't care. Look, I'm just telling you like it is. I'm not here. Like, if I'm wrong about something, please let me know if I'm wrong about the law, but I don't think I am. And sometimes the clips cut it off, so I get it.
I sympathize with the argument that the time should not be stopped because it's not our fault.
It's not our fault, right. But motions will generally toll time. And let's just say that your lawyer, you've hired a good one, like Palmer Legal Defense upstairs, mm-hmm. and we're busy.
Yeah.
Now, look, I'm not saying that I'm not going to devote all the time I have to every client. I can't. I mean, we have a practice. Or let's just say that there are 50 witnesses in your case. It's probably a better way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
You got 50 witnesses in your case, and our job is to interview them. So we ring-a-ling-a-ling. We call up Scott Shepard, our investigator, great justified investigations. And we say, Scott, we need your help. Go beat feet here. You know, do some gumshoeing, interview these witnesses, help us with the case. But lo and behold, time is ticking by and we're trial dates coming up and we're not ready. You know, we haven't been able to track down a key witness or we've got other stuff that we need to do to prepare. Let's say you need an expert and the expert can't get to us or it takes 6 weeks to get us a report.
Sometimes longer.
We have to file the dreaded motion to continue or motion to adjourn, as they would say, my buddy in Michigan would say. So we have to postpone it on our motion. We have to request a continue. Well, that again, that's another tolling event. That is why people often think they have speedy trial issues that they really don't.
Yeah.
They're like, wait a minute, what about my speedy trial? Now, there's a line, and I am very cognizant when my clients are rotting in jail, I hate to use that word, but sitting in jail. So let's just say the government's taking exceptionally long with discovery. I will say, look, not my fault you're taking 90 days to get me discovery. Let this guy out of jail or let her out if it's a gal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, change the bond. I'll file a bond motion, which tolls time, and say, Judge, look, it's not our fault. You know, and we've got a problem here in Franklin County. I'm not shy about it. It's taken months to get us discovery. And, you know, we're howling at the moon about it, but I'm getting people out on bond because you can't just keep people in jail while you take months to get us discovery. It's just not fair. It's a due process problem. We're arguing if it's going to count against speedy trial, then at least, let my client out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a little bit easier. But what about there may be times where longer is better for the defense. Now, it's certainly generally not when you're sitting in jail.
Yeah. Coupon
not,
is
not always,
same.
But yeah, you know, sometimes even if you're sitting, sometimes shorter is better. Typically speaking, I get a DUI case comes in. First thing I do is I file a demand for discovery. I enter my appearance. I file a jury demand. I enter a not guilty plea and we file a demand for discovery. We get the discovery. And then we almost always file motions to challenge the evidence or suppress the evidence. That's a tolling provision. So often I'll just waive time. Now, sometimes I waive time because I want my client to have some time to do some things. Maybe get some counseling. Maybe complete a driver's interventions program. That's the weekend drunk school here in Ohio. Or maybe I just think that, all right, look, if I just give it some time, I'll eventually talk the prosecutor into doing what I want the prosecutor. You know, or we'll just get some, who knows? So sometimes it just makes sense to delay cases and, you know, you can say justice delayed is justice denied, but not if you get a good result
mm-hmm.
as a result of the delay. So I would almost always say this to people who are railing against a speedy trial or waiver of time, whatever. I'm with you. But if your lawyer is postponing this or wants to delay it or there's other stuff going on, ask your attorney what the strategy is. And if you don't get a good answer, ask again. If you don't get any answer, ask again. If you don't get a good answer, ask again. If you don't get any answer, you get what I'm saying? Because
mm-hmm.
if somebody asks me that question, I will be able to articulate to you exactly what my strategy is. Mm-hmm. And sometimes my strategy is, well, I'm trying to get a plea bargain, but they won't give it to me yet, so I continued it. And I will get the, will that change anything? I don't know, but it's better than not.
Yeah.
So that could be a strategy. Because we say we got a case that we don't think we can win the trial. It's like, well, look, speedy trial is not a good one if you can't win.
Yeah.
So now the opposite scenario. Sometimes speedy trial is better. I know that, let me give you the most simple, lowest common denominator. Somebody comes into me with a car crash ticket,
mm-hmm.
fair to control. And I had this just recently. A client of mine was charged with fair to control, ran a red light or something. There was a car crash. I think there was an injury accident too. No alcohol involved, just an unfortunate accident. And the police took forever to charge the guy. Now, speedy trial time doesn't count there because he hadn't been charged yet.
Mm-hmm.
Might be constitutional issues and delay, but not long enough for that either. And then right before a holiday, the deputy decided we're going to file a ticket and charge my client. So calls up my client and says, ring-a-ling-a-ling, got a ticket for you. Turns out we got the red light camera information back, and now here you are. You are charged with failure to yield or running a red light. And then goes and files the ticket, serves my client, and then we have a holiday for a week and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Where the courts don't do much. So let's say that happens right before the week before Christmas, and then you got most courts do nothing over Christmas, and then you got another. Well, they only have 30 days to get this thing to trial.
Mm-hmm.
And before the Ramo's even scheduled, after service of summons, 5 or 6 days already gone past, maybe 7 or 10. So I went in and I filed a not guilty plea and demanded a speedy trial.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time they set the thing, it was outside the speedy trial time of 30 days. And guess what? We win. Chicken dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can say that's not fair. That's a technical. I don't care. Like, my job is to defend my client. Yeah. I don't care if it's sneaky or whatever. It's like, mm-hmm. I asked for a speedy trial. You didn't give me one. Case dismissed. And that's how it works. So sometimes it's favorable. Sometimes you think that, look, there's a witness in this case that we think the government absolutely needs, and that witness happens to be in Hungary or something, you know, or overseas, and no way they're getting that witness here. So we're going to put our foot on the gas pedal a little bit. There's reasons for it.
Mm-hmm.
Other times, I've had complicated federal cases that I look at my client and say, listen, we just got like 5 terabytes of discovery in your case or 2 terabytes of discovery in your case. We have one of those right now.
Yeah.
I can't possibly get to this in the time. I mean, I just, like, if you want, you can have a couple things, but not all at once. Mm-hmm. You can have a good defense where I'm completely prepared and the best trial you can get, but I can't give you all those things and have it done quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'll do it with deliberate speed, but I can't do it quickly because we may need to investigate. We may need to review everything. We may need experts. We may need everything. So speedy trial is a complicated mess. And you've researched this a couple times. Sometimes it happens where in the middle of a case, the prosecutor dismisses it.
Yeah.
And then what?
And then you're no longer under the burden of the government, so your speedy trial time gets paused.
It gets paused, but not all the things that happen in the first case.
Yeah, yeah, right. That is kind of nice. That all those tolling mechanisms in the first case that you initially waived, all of it gets thrown out and it's all gets tolled against them, which I do like that.
Not all, but the things that you think would toll the time don't. The things you think wouldn't toll the time do. So if you waived your right to a speedy trial in the original case and it later gets dismissed, that time waiver doesn't count in the new one.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, it's weird. Now, I've had cases that have been transferred from a mayor's court to a city court, and the process has gotten screwed up and we won on speedy trial. So look, all I can say about speedy trial is if you're a lawyer, be mindful of it.
Mm-hmm.
Be mindful of it. And please take carefully your obligation to explain to your client why you want to waive speedy trial and hear your client's concerns about why they want a faster trial. Because I found the number one problem with attorney-client relationship is communication or lack of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've almost always found, look, I do this job for all sorts of reasons. But I do believe in telling the truth to my clients. And I found that, amazingly, when you tell your clients what you're thinking and you have a legitimate strategy for it. And even if they disagree, you can have a debate about it, but at least you know that they understand what's going on. And it's when clients don't understand what's going on, that's when you run into problems. One other issue we should kick around. We show up for trial. It's our turn. Day nine, or say it's day 89. Mm-hmm. And it turns out the judge is already in trial.
I don't think
so. They don't teach you this in law school, do they?
I understand that. Yes, you were going to have to start outside, but it's like they were ready. They anticipated a trial within the timeline, and they're like, "Hey, can we kick back a week?" I think the court's going to sympathize and be like, "This isn't a violation of speed trial." That's why
there ain't no sympathy, and there ain't no nothing. So
obviously, we're going to be kicking and screaming.
Here's what happens. One of two things. I've had this happen where the judge says, "Look, I can't do it today, but Judge Smith over here will be happy to hear your case." And I think I'd rather have you. Or no, that's great. I'd love to have Judge Smith hear it. All judges are the same, though, by the way. but either way, that's one thing that happens. But if it's a one county or a one judge county, say, look, I can't do it. The judge will continue the case on its own motion, but it has to be up next. You know, and that'll toll the time. But there's a mechanism for that. So now what they can't do is just bump it way down the road and say, sorry. Now, the other thing that's coming up, we're going to raise this. If the prosecutor unduly delays discovery, or we get, say, the police are holding back discovery and we've in good faith sort of agree to continue a case, I'm going back. I'm going to say, look, I want the nonsense. You lied to me about discovery, police, or you've been concealing it, whether intentionally or not intentionally. I don't give a rip. You know, it's like, you need to, now we're going to go back and argue that all that speedy trial time should count against the government. Mm-hmm. So speedy trial is a shield. It's a weapon. It's whatever you want to call it, but it's there. It's something we have to pay attention to. It's not always something you want. It's not always something you don't want. Like anything else in law, it all depends.
It's not as simple as a stopwatch either.
It is not as simple as a stopwatch. It's, you know what it is? It's a bad stopwatch. It's no Timex.
Yeah.
I can tell you that. So look, it keeps on ticking. Anyway, lawyer talk off the record on the air, speedy trial style. If you got a question, a comment, you want us to talk about something, just let us know. By the way, we're sponsored by Circle 270 Media. Phenomenal. If you've got a podcast that you want, if you're in the Central Ohio area, even nationally, great podcast consultant, check out Circle 270 Media. Brett over there will take care of you.